Hello and welcome to the Ozone. I'm your host, Jeff Hazard, retired Sports Information Director at SUNY Oneonta and also the chair of the Athletic Hall of Fame Committee. And today we are welcoming in Megan Donnelly, class of 2005, field hockey athlete, and she will be inducted into our Athletic Hall of Fame this June 8th, 2024. Welcome to the show, Megan.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, certainly on, first of all, before we go further, on behalf of the Hall of Fame Committee and myself, congratulations on this well-deserved honor.
Thank you. I am very grateful and very honored, and so very excited. Looking forward to the induction.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. It's a great class, great group of individuals. So let's go back to those years in the early 2000s. Why did you choose Oneonta in the first place?
Yeah, wow. So I was just talking about this with my dad recently because he's so excited about this, and we talked about like when we were looking for colleges, and we were going only to all the SUNY schools, which is so funny. I look back now, I'm like, we only wanted to go to a SUNY school. So we went to all the big SUNY schools that I was really interested in, especially for field hockey, and met Coach Dombrowski at Oneonta, and that I knew within probably 5 to 10 minutes on that campus that I was going to go there. And I was like, no other schools really I really wanted to go to. I did apply to a couple other schools, SUNY schools, but I knew, like, meeting Michelle and meeting just seeing the campus, walking around, I knew within like 5 to 10 minutes that's where I wanted to be.
Now, when you came for your visit, who were some of the upperclassmen that you actually hung out with?
Oh yeah, so I did a visit. I did a like a one night visit, and it was like the Amy Sprague group, Jen Miller. It was like the year ahead of me, and I stayed overnight with them on campus in their residence hall room, and that was also, of course, like a selling point for me. Like, I just was pumped to like be able to be on the team with them, and got to go to practice the next day. I remember that really vividly. And just like being on the campus in the hills, I was like, this is where I want to be. It was really relatively close to home too, like less than 2 hours. So it was easy to get home if I needed to too. But yeah, it was the group ahead of me was Jen Miller, Amy Sprague, who else? Goodness.
Trying to
I
think,
remember.
trying to remember.
Yeah. I forget who else, but there was a group of like four or five that had a class ahead of me that were just awesome. Awesome people, still awesome humans. We still keep in touch via social media and all that, but just really awesome, really influential teammates that I met. So
Now,
yeah.
did they were any of your did they have any other recruits with you
I don't
that
think so for
visit?
my Maybe Bryn Hoover. I
Ah,
don't
Bryn Hoover.
Yeah, I don't remember. I think, yeah, I want to say she was there too, but I know I only stayed with them in their residence hall that night. It was only me. It was, yeah. Allison. Oh gosh, what's her last name? I know her name now, but it's not, I forget her last name. So yeah, but it was a good group. Really great group. Yeah.
So now, so certainly at that time, I mean, I was re still relatively new to the college, and Michelle was, she had been on for a few years prior to me, and she looked like she was starting to bring in some players and build. Now, during your time there, the team got better every year, and I still think that the two or three years that you played still are some of the better field hockey teams that we had in the history of the program. I mean, yeah, we had teams that, a couple that went to the NCAAs and the AIW tournament back in the 80s
Yeah.
or whatever, but to that time, it had been a while since we had, teams that were winning and doing well, and you were part of that group. Why don't you talk a
Yeah.
little bit about that and building that success?
Yeah, it so the group that I was with, the women that I was with, Kelly Moore, Sarah Johnson, Bryn Hoover, just that group was so str we were so tightly knit too. Like, we were very close outside of the team. We kind of meshed right away. So I think that really mattered. Like, and especially in our first year, our freshman year, we were just like a really strong group outside, off the field, and on the field. Hung out a lot. Skill wise, like very good. Just working together. I mean, yeah, we had an incredible 4 years, that group. And the group before us too. Like, we had, that was a strong group too. But I would say, like, we just got each other really well. Like, we were just, I mean, from day one, like, hardworking. Like, all of us had really good, like hardworking kind of personalities. Like we wanted it real bad. We were a little competitive with each other, and it was a good competition. But and we all had really good like balancing of strengths in areas that maybe weren't the strongest. Sarah and I, like, we were very close with just like our positions. She would always be in front of me, so we were very close. Brim was the forward, she was the scorer. But
It's almost like
yeah,
up the center of the field.
so
You
it
get the
was,
ball to
yeah, it
Sarah
was
and then Sarah to
Kelly.
Brynn
Yeah.
and Brynn. Yeah,
Yeah.
that's it.
It was that four core, and we were all in the middle always. And we just like we wanted it better. High schools that were pretty competitive too. Like I was from RFA, and we went on, I think, for my senior year in high school to like the class, A, like semifinals, something like that. So we all of us had very good high school experiences leading on to college. But we were all like feisty. Like we all were like, I mean, we were all pretty competitive and a little rough and like,
No, I remember that. I
yeah.
remember that. Sarah, I wouldn't want
Sarah, yeah.
to. I actually think Bryn might have been maybe the most mild of the group, maybe.
Yeah,
Quiet.
totally. Yeah, quiet, but she also was and still is, I think. She coaches now, but I think she was always quiet, but also like pretty like quick, pretty aggressive, like a little feisty. Yeah.
Kind of the quiet assassin type.
Yes. Yeah, totally. Yeah. And her and I lived across from the freshman residence hall together our first year. We lived right across the hall from each other. So
Oh,
we would
geez.
walk to classes every day. We were, yeah.
I'm telling you the names Sarah, Kelly Moore,
Yeah.
Bryn Hoover. I mean, those are legendary names as well. It's great to remember them. Field hockey. What about the campus? What about the campus you enjoyed during your 4 years and the academics and the programs that you were able to,
Yeah.
participate in?
Yeah, I mean, I got involved a lot on campus, and it was so ironic how it kind of unfolded. And I look back now and I'm like, wow, it all kind of played into what I'm doing now in my life. Field hockey was like my biggest priority, I think, when I first started and getting into Oneonta and all that. And then I really created this like foundation of community in other areas on campus. I remember, and I still tell this story to folks that I work with. I was like, I don't think I'd be actually here in higher ed now working if I didn't get this note in my freshman mailbox on campus to it that invited me to be an orientation leader. And it was from Monica Grau, and she's one of my first mentors in my field. I still keep in touch with the Graus. They're incredible. And I got this little note that was like, somebody thought that you would be great as an orientation leader. Come to this like orientation leader meeting. And this was my freshman year. And I'm thinking, heck yeah, I want to be on campus in the summer. Like I can play in the field. Like I can so
Yeah.
anyway, I can get free housing for the summer.
Yeah.
Sure, yes. I
Yeah.
don't want to go back
Wow.
home.
Yeah.
So I ended up going to this meeting, and it was really pivotal in my figuring out what I wanted to do for my career. So I was orientation leader for my sophomore, junior, and after senior year. I became an assistant hall director when I graduated, but I was there for 3 summers, and I worked in orientation. I was a student orientation leader, met some of my lifelong friends that I still have now through orientation. Got to play field hockey in the summer there. And I also worked at Bugby Daycare Center throughout the year. So I don't know if it's still there. Is it still?
Yes, it is still there.
Okay, so I wanted to do like a part-time job, and I'm like, I don't know how I did all of this, to be honest. Like, I'm like, there's no way I'd be able to do that now in my life. But I played field hockey, which is basically a full-time job. Was a student, a hardworking academic student, and I also worked like 10 to 15 hours a week at Bugby Daycare as a daycare like student teacher kind of position. And I stayed like through the winter breaks after my first year there. So I was pretty involved like in a lot of different ways. Student leading as the orientation leader, and then working at the daycare on top of being in field hockey. So yeah.
Well, and again, why don't we talk about, let's transition to what you're doing now. And certainly, you're currently working towards a doctorate degree,
Yeah, I am.
which
Yes.
is outstanding. That's just great. Why don't you tell us how you kind of got to where you're at now?
Sure. Yeah, it's been a long journey. I mean, I think about almost like 20 years, 19 years of when I graduated Oneonta. I went right away to graduate school at Canisius College, which is now Canisius University, and went into the higher ed administration program there. That was something that I had no idea there was even a field for until I met Monica Grau, who kind of took me under her wing and said, "You know, you could go into this as a profession." I said, "Really? Like, that's a thing?" And it was fairly new at that point, getting a master's in higher ed. And so I went right on to Canisius and really like networked, did a lot of internships and stuff like that in grad school. And then went on and worked full time in many universities and colleges. I worked, so I was living in New York for most of my career until about 5 years ago when I moved to Minnesota, where I am now. But I worked at Stony Brook University for a while. I worked there in advising. I worked with graduate students there. And then I moved to Minnesota 5 years ago, where my wife and I live. I moved because she's from Minnesota, so we decided to settle here. It's completely changed, and found a really great job at a law school and became the director of admissions there for 4 years. And then moved on to the University of Minnesota, where I am now. And I work in the School of Medicine there and work with pediatric fellows and started my doctorate a couple years ago in higher ed, well, educational leadership. And so, yeah, I mean, I've grown a lot in the past 19, 20 years of working in higher ed. And I'm just, yeah, the position I'm in now, I love it. And I love my doctorate program. I had class all day yesterday and we'll be done in a couple of years. I'm aiming for 2025. So we'll see, write my dissertation. But really, it all stems back to that, like, orientation leader thing. Like, I don't think I'd ever go in this field. Maybe, maybe not. But yeah, just getting that like kind of encouragement from Oneonta, from my, from mentors there that said, I think you'd be a really good leader in education. And that's what I'm doing now. I'm a big mentor to graduate students and doctorate students. That's who I work with primarily right now. And it's kind of full circle. So
Yeah,
yeah.
that is awesome. Yeah, like you said, full circle. What is your do you have a an area for your dissertation? What are you looking at?
Yeah, I'm looking at affirmative action actually. So, yeah, so because of the I worked in admissions, like you had saw, recently in many years in admissions work, and the recent affirmative action cases that have come up, my dissertation will be based around admissions practices around affirmative action and evaluating all of that, the good, bad, ugly, and how do we move forward in regards to access to education, and making that equitable. So that's what I'm working on.
Wow. See, changing the world.
I hope. Little
Well, all
piece, right?
right.
Little piece.
That's right. That's right. SUNY Oneonta, they're
That's
everywhere.
right.
Any special moments, memories as a student athlete at Oneonta that you'd like to maybe highlight?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say the last year, my senior year, was just incredible. We were rocking it in field hockey and just really doing well as a team. I mean, I remember just like the ECACs and the SUNYAC, and I mean, I would say like all the trips were memorable. Like we had such a good time as a group. And it's unique, I think, because there's so many strong personalities, especially in college when you're going through developmental stages and all that, that you don't have any conflict. And we never did. And so I think, just in general, the biggest memory from being at Oneonta on the field hockey team was, working and playing with such incredible people and getting along and pushing each other. And it was like the ideal team when you think of a team, like what you'd want
Right.
out of that. And then having on top of it an amazing leader like Coach Dombrowski, who was so easy to work with. She was so encouraging and positive, never instilled fear in us. It was just very much a mentor to all of us, still is. She keeps in touch with all of us still, And so that says a lot. I think that says a lot. And it says a lot about Oneonta. Like, I think that's
Right.
not uncommon. Like, I think from the folks that I've known that have graduated from Oneonta, they still feel the same way as I do, but in different ways if they weren't an athlete.
Right.
they were a student leader or they had a great faculty member. I will always remember this one game though, and my dad still laughs about this because my dad went to almost every single home and away game. He was
Wow.
just, yeah. Doctor, I think he was maybe a PhD, Dr. Frank O'Mara. I don't know if you know Professor O'Mara from Communications.
Yes.
Okay,
Yes.
so he, I will never forget this moment, and it's just a core memory. So I was in a lot of his communication classes because I was a communication major and I loved him. Like he was one of my favorite faculty member at Oneonta. And he knew I played field hockey. I was a really shy kid in the classroom. Like I was not, it was very different on the field than in the classroom. So I kind of like always was in the back of the class, just did my work, stuck to myself, very rarely like wanted to like be in front of the class, but it was, you know, he taught the freedom of speech class or something like that. So I will never forget when he walks in one day. It was like an 8 a.m. class, and he takes the school paper and he goes, "I want to just share something with everybody today." So I opened up the school paper, and here I see Megan Donnelly, Player of the Year, Suniak, Player of the Year. Like, you know, we just need to give her a round of applause. And I was like, bright red face. Like,
Man.
so then he said to me after that class, he was like, "I want to come to one of your games." And I was like, "Of course, like come to the game." Like, yeah, sure. So he comes to one of the games, and it was like a really rough game. It probably was like against Oswego or something. It was a home game. And he, after the game, I was like, "Professor O'Mara, thank you so much for coming." And he's like, "You're not the same person in the class as you are on this field."
Yeah.
I was like, "No, I'm not."
Yeah. Wow.
But just like incredible. And that's the thing is like, that is what's so special about Oneonta that I tell everybody, like anybody that talks about their undergrad experience. And sometimes it's not good experiences, but for me, I feel very lucky to like have been at a place that was so impactful and powerful to me, from the in the classroom to outside the classroom, developmentally, leadership wise, really was a core foundation for where I am now.
Well, we certainly, in the athletic department, that was certainly our goal. We wanted everyone to have a great experience, at least from our
Yeah.
athletic point. You know what I mean? Whatever you did outside of the campus, you know, we hope that you would get involved in some activities and do other things.
Yeah.
Yeah, certainly from the athletic side, that was goal number one, making sure the
Yeah.
student athlete experience was the best it could be. So,
And it
I'm glad
was
to
for
hear
me.
that.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear
Yeah.
that. Because I was part of that group or whatever, so to be able to try and offer that. So you mentioned you were Suniak Player of the Year as a defensive player. Now, of course, in today's day and age, you know, they've broken it down. Now there's an offensive player of the year, there's a
Ah.
defensive player of the year, there's a rookie of the year. Like you were just player of the year. That included everyone who had like 25, 30 goals and you
I
know, those
know.
offensive players get all the recognition. So I
Always.
definitely, up to that point, I don't think that there was another defensive player that was Suniak Player of the Year before they started separating them out like that. So I mean that
Wow.
again, that in itself is an incredible accomplishment. So
Yeah, wow. That was a big, yeah, I did not expect that. Nor did I expect being here either. But I think like, you know, it's because you don't, you know, you're
yeah.
right with defensive players, you know, and that was, I signed up for that. I loved it. I loved my role on the team. And but it was, yeah, what an honor to get that. So yeah.
Did you come in as a defensive player or did coach move you to defense?
No, I was a tried
Okay.
and true defensive player, and through high school too, I was always the last center, you know, center defense. And
Okay.
but in ice hockey growing up, which I played ice hockey most of my adolescence, I was center forward. I was, you know, face off like the center
Okay.
forward. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, is there anybody you know, people that you'd like to thank? I mean, you know, you've mentioned, you know, Professor O'Mara and, you know, Coach Dombrowski. And I mean, are there other people on the campus that, you know, the Grouse, certainly. I mean, I worked with
Yeah.
Monica on committees during my time there. I mean, you know, she was another one of those people that had a lot of energy and wanted to do what they could for the students and, you know, the whole
Yes.
experience for the college. I mean, so Bill and Monica were definitely two of the
They
best.
were, yeah.
I certainly appreciate that. Just again, I worked with each one of them on various search committees and things for the campus. So I certainly know where you're coming from. But are there other people, you know, that impacted you while you were at Oneonta?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, definitely. So Bill and Monica Grau, while they were, I mean, I got to the point where I babysit their kids sometimes. It was just like a family, you know, you don't, it's like you just, I feel like maybe college students don't have that experience anymore. I don't know. Maybe they do at Oneonta, but I feel like it's like, you know, you talk about this stuff, you're like, it was so, we were all just so, such a great group of people. I mean, in general, I can never remember one time where I did not feel, you know, supported at Oneonta. Whether it was going to get classes registered for, you know, going to admissions, like the first time I met admissions office, Karen Brown was amazing. You know, that group was of administrators were incredible. And of course, you know, Coach Dombrowski, the whole athletic department, you know, they were incredible. You know, you were always at all, you know, helping with all the games and so happy and positive to see all of us. So it was, yeah, I feel very, I just keep saying the same things over, but I feel like I think about Oneonta and there's no bad feelings, you know, no bad people or bad experiences I had at the college. I really didn't. It was, yeah.
That's awesome.
My dad always jokes, like, because he's like, one day you're gonna come back and work here. And I was like, I don't know. But he's like, I don't think Kate, my wife, and I want to move back to Oneonta, but he's pushing for it. It's his, I think it's his dream, but
We'd love to have you back in New York, right? Your wife is from Minnesota.
she is, yeah, and she's a orthopedic PA, so she does spine surgery, yeah, so we're settled here, we love it.
Good for you. Good for you. I mean, again, we're excited that you're going to be part of this class. Certainly, again, a well-deserved honor. I mean, I had the privilege to watch you play for 4 years, and like you said, it's really funny. Like the sports when I was at Oneonta, I mean, I was at all the games, because I wanted to be and I wanted to watch all the student athletes compete. But I always thought that field hockey, like kind of like field hockey, softball and volleyball, like for some reason were the three sports that I kind of like, I thought I enjoyed them a little bit more, and maybe because of the coaches or the student athletes that were on the teams. I just felt that there was a lot of energy, the positive energy that came from those three squads that was always enjoyable to be around. So certainly I know that you were part of that, and I appreciate that about you and Sarah. Like you said, Sarah, when you mentioned Sarah and Bryn and Kelly Moore, I'm like, oh my God, here we go. It's just memories,
It is. And we're all the same. You know, we haven't really changed that much. Like, none of us have. Like, we keep in touch. And, you know,
You
many of
said
them
Bryn's
have.
coaching.
Bryn's coaching. Yeah.
Is she
She's
still
back
in
at
Walton?
Walton. She went back to
Oh
Walton.
my
Yeah, and
God.
she's a teacher there and she has kids. And Sarah has kids and is back in her area. I forget where she's from. Goodness, in the Southern Tier area. Yeah. And then Kelly has two kids. She's busy. So yeah, it's, yeah, but we're all very much leaders in our own communities and doing great things. So yeah.
Are they going to be coming on June 8th?
We've messaged each other. I don't know if they will because next year's the 20th annual, you know, anniversary. Like the reunion is their 20th year next year. So I don't know, but maybe Bryn and Sarah because they're pretty close still. But yeah,
Oh, it'd be
yeah,
great to see him. Great
yeah,
to see him.
yeah.
You tell him Jeff told you to
I
go.
will.
You
I
need to
will. Yeah,
go.
and you know, Lindsay Hendricks is
Oh,
amazing.
yeah, she's already there. She's still there as the assistant
She's
coach.
still there.
Yeah, that's how, well, again, that's how I got your phone number.
I know. She told me.
We,
I was like, Lindsay,
well,
you're sneaky.
yeah, we, I was like, I knew if I went right to the source. I'm like, Lindsay, you probably have Megan's phone number, don't you? So yeah, I went right to the source. So, and Lindsay's great. She's always been great. So, once again, congratulations. We look forward to having you on June 8th, and you and your family. It'll be great to see your dad and your and his whole family there and supporting you. And I mean, just congratulations, and it'll be a fun time. It's a fun event.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm looking forward to it.